Feel this, you're going to think I'm crazy. Well, I may be. But I'm going to be talking about the trumpets and vials in the book of Revelation. We've already covered the first seven trumpets, one by one, trumpet number one, number two, number three, etc., etc., etc. And we've talked about what God intends to do to the earth. Now, a lot of people think that God is going to use man's thermonuclear weaponry to fulfill his own prophecy. I don't believe that. And before Hal Lindsey came along with the late great planet Earth, and before thermonuclear weaponry was invented, preachers tended to believe that God would do the destroying all by himself. Well, after Hal Lindsey wrote his book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and convinced everyone that all the destruction in the book of Revelation was by terrifying thermonuclear bombs, weapons used, man discovered something that's perhaps even more interesting and far more destructive than any type of thermonuclear weaponry. He discovered what Daniel indicated God wanted man to discover. In the last chapter of the book of Daniel, which is one of the most prolific prophetic books in the Old Testament, in the last chapter, God told Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Man ran to and fro in the last days. He told him to shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. At the time of the end, man was to run to and fro across the earth, under the earth, and above the earth, and knowledge would be increased. We discovered how the earth was put together. We discovered that all over the earth, everywhere you see one of these red lines, whether it's on land or sea, it goes down through the earth and eventually makes contact with great underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. This is a fact that's been proven with seismic tomography. In the book of Revelation, I've made a case to show how God intends to move these massive tectonic plates 3 to 4 feet during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period and produce the exact holocaust you will find in the book of Revelation on the seven trumpets and the seven seals. This mechanism can produce a holocaust that is 1,000,000 times worse than if all the thermonuclear weapons on this earth were unleashed at the same time. When God moves these plates along these red lines, earthquakes are produced and volcanic eruptions are produced. God is going to produce the greatest holocaust that man has ever seen on this earth by his own power. So as I go through these scriptures, many of you who are sitting here have been through all this. You know what I believe about this. You've seen the actual charts, graphs, slides, scriptures correlated to showing how God will use this to fulfill his own prophecy by his own power. There are many people who believe that the trumpets will all go off and then after all the trumpets go off, then vial one will begin. There's far too much crammed in that period of time for all the trumpets to be blown, then they stop, then all the vials to come in. I'm convinced that they operate in conjunction. In other words, when a trumpet sounds, it announces or heralds the beginning of an event. That's the way it was at the time that John wrote this book of Revelation in 95 and 96 A.D. So you have the first trumpet blow. That first trumpet continues for a long period of time. It ends, culminates, with the pouring out of the first vial. In other words, this horrifying event here just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And right here is where God's wrath is poured out on the vial. And then it really intensifies, and this last part is far worse than any other part. The second trumpet sounds, event number two begins. It continues right up until the second vial. Now notice the second vial actually is opened a little bit after the first vial. And on the second trumpet, it's terrifying all the way in here on the trumpet. But on the second vial, it's even worse. That's true all the way down to the seventh trumpet. On the seventh trumpet, it's the last trumpet, and there's a very short period of time left. The first vial is not poured out until the seventh trumpet has sounded. This first vial here, when the seventh trumpet sounds, shortly after that, it goes off. And there's a very short period of time left after when that last vial is poured out. The Bible says, except those days had been shortened, there should no flesh be saved. I've shown you these cracks in the crust of the earth. I've shown you how all along these cracks, they go down through the earth. I've shown you scripture after scripture, hundreds of them, throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, that shows why along all these lines, everywhere you see a red line, there are going to be tremendous volcanic eruptions pouring blood, fire, smoke, hail, brimstone up into the air. I've also shown you how the earth's atmosphere is constructed. I'm a professional certified meteorologist, and this is the way the Earth's atmosphere is constructed. Here above the tropopause level, up to the through the stratopause, up through what is known as the stratosphere, in this area is the location of the ozone layer. The ozone layer is made up of three oxygen molecules that are linked together. Two of those molecules are very tightly packed together, and every time you suck in air, what you're taking in is two oxygen molecules that are bonded, two oxygen atoms that are bonded together to form an oxygen molecule. When you add a third one on, it's a very loose fit and very easily plucked off. But if you add the third one on, and God does, up in the ozone layer, you have three oxygen molecules. That's ozone, and it protects us from ultraviolet radiation. It protects us from noises, grease, and boils, and sores. You can't get this what breaks down the ozone layer, which is chlorofluorocarbons. Chlorofluorocarbons from spray cans and things like that, they can't rise of their own volition. What's breaking down the ozone layer are the volcanic eruptions, because when they occur, they have a high degree of chlorine in them, chlorine around the Pacific Basin. They blow up through the atmosphere, forced by volcanic eruptions, and they clip off one of those oxygen molecules. For those of you who are visiting and you've never seen this, I can understand why you think this is crazy. But I went and showed the people, and I did it through, I teach chemistry, physics, earth science, physical science, and I showed the people how it's clipped off and how this breaks down the ozone layer. The ozone layer is not being broken down by chlorofluorocarbons. I showed how gradually the sun, moon, and stars would disappear as all these volcanic eruptions occurred during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period and were blown up above the tropopause level, where there is no moisture for the particles to have condensed on them, and so they can't become heavy enough to fall out, and there will be a tremendous cloud shield built around the whole Earth above the tropopause level in the stratosphere. The actual ozone layer that is up in the stratosphere will be broken down, and by the end of the tribulation period, you're going to have some very terrifying things happening because of direct penetration of the ultraviolet radiation in the stratosphere that comes down on man's flesh. Now, we're going to begin a correlation between the different trumpets and vials. Correlations between the trumpets and the vials. We're going to take a look at the first trumpet, and we're going to see how it correlates with the first vial. Trumpet number one, Revelation 8:7. The first angel sounded, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. This is when the actual tremendous movement accelerates on these tectonic plates. The hail that is mentioned there is not a hailstone of ice. The great God-breathed word for hail is kalaza, and kalaza means any object cast down from heaven. Could it be hail? Yes, but hail and fire do not mingle together. Is that real blood? No, it's not real blood. The God-breathed word for blood is hama or hamati. And hama or hamati can, of course, be real blood or animal blood. But it can, with equal validity, just as acceptable, be any object that takes on a blood-red color, or it can be any liquid that flows that takes on a blood-red color, including magma or lava, which flows within the earth and comes up out on the surface. These are huge volcanic stones. They are very fiery. They are mixed in with what John described as blood. They are thrown out of volcanic eruptions for great distances. They're called volcanic bombs, and they look like huge chunks of blood flying through the air. This is exactly what happens every time this occurs. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burned up. Hail does not burn up trees, and all green grass was burned up. Whatever this is, when it's cast upon the earth, it burns up all the trees, all the green grass, and a third part of the trees. Why doesn't it burn up all the trees? Because the roots on trees are much deeper than that in grass. And so the greater the depth of this material, the further down it penetrates to destroy the particular thing it's lying over. Many of the trees will be spared because the intensity of the heat will not be great enough to destroy a tree root, which goes very deep, but it will be great enough to destroy all the green grass. Now, I want you to notice what happens on vial number one, Revelation 16:2. We now jump over 8 chapters later, and I'm going to show you how this ends, this particular event. Now, remember what I'm talking about on this diagram. We started here with all the green grass and the third part of the trees burn up. It gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. While this is going on, that's blowing, fluorochlorocarbons, forcibly ejecting them out of volcanic eruptions, clean up through the tropopause layer in the stratosphere. It's breaking down the ozone layer. As this occurs, it's only a natural consequence for what I'm going to show you happens next. Vial number one, Revelation 16:2. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. This mark of the beast, quite frankly, I'm not quite sure what it is. But I do know how ultraviolet radiation works. And I do know there are certain chemicals, I teach chemistry, there are certain chemical reactions that occur between things on a periodic chemistry chart and ultraviolet radiation. This mark of the beast is probably going to be a type of a prick or something inducted underneath the skin, because the mark itself means to pierce. And underneath there, they're probably going to put some type of a disc, if that's the mark of the beast. In any case, when the ultraviolet radiation comes down and begins to hit those sores, those marks on the people, it'll react to the actual disc underneath, which may be of a sodium character. That will cause it to fluster. It will cause it to turn into a noisome, grievous sore, a cancerous sore, and it will begin to spread from that one sore across the rest of the person's body. Notice, a single sore. Whoever takes the mark, whether they take it in their forehead or here, once that ultraviolet radiation hits that particular mark, it will cause those people who have taken it to develop this noisome and grievous sore. Because it will cause cancer to occur at that point, it will spread like wildfire across the rest of their body. A melanoma type, rapid spreading cancer. So initially, it's a single mark. That's the way I believe that a distinction will be made between those who take the mark and those who didn't. But you can see how these two are related, because the volcanic eruptions are what are breaking down the ozone layer. It's not fluorochlorocarbons from spray cans. I've proven that to you. I've shown you scientific proof of it. And so this is event number one, which begins with the blowing of the first trumpet and ends with the pouring out of the last drop of the vial, which is the first vial. That ends that event. Trumpet number two. And Revelation 8:8-9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. This is a great mountain that suddenly appears in the midst of the sea. It's a volcanic eruption. Why couldn't they see it back here on trumpet number one? Because volcanic cones take time to build. You get an eruption, it comes up, it takes a long time to build up into a large cone. You have many volcanic eruptions occurring back here on trumpet number one. The cones are building. Some of them are old cones that are reactivated. Some of them are new cones that are developing. There are three types of volcanoes. There's a particular type known as a cinder cone eruption. There's another type that's a strata cone eruption. And there's a third that's a shield volcano. But all of them take time to build up to a height of any great distance. And so you didn't see anything happening in the sea back here on trumpet number one, because the volcanic eruptions were starting on the ocean seafloor even when the first trumpet went off. Because as these plates shift, the volcanoes are going to break out on land as well as the ocean seafloor. But on the first trumpet, you couldn't see them because they were building on the ocean seafloor. Now all of a sudden, on trumpet number two, they begin to break up from the bottom of the ocean seafloor. Two-thirds of these cracks are on the ocean seafloor. Trumpet number two, Revelation 8:8-9. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. Anytime you have a volcanic eruption, the particular type of magma that occurs on the ocean seafloor is basaltic. On land, it's rhyolitic and andesitic, but on the actual seafloor, the eruptions that occur there are basaltic. Of all the magmatic types, of all the different constituencies of magma, the actual basaltic magma has the highest iron content. Whenever you take iron and you put it in water and you heat the water and stir it for several days, it'll turn the water a rusty red color. Instant oxidation or rusting occurs when you take liquid rock at 1600 degrees Celsius, which is what this rock is that comes up from the ocean seafloor. It causes instant oxidation or rusting, and it turns the water a beautiful blood red. So as the actual volcanoes come up, they will begin to turn the water red around them. Now, at the same time that this is occurring, God has placed in the oceans and seas of the world what are known as dinoflagellate. God made all this. All this is natural. All this is something that God does. How many dinoflagellate are there in the oceans and seas of the world? There are more dinoflagellate in the oceans and seas of the world than there are grains of sand on all the beaches and shores of this entire surface of the earth. They are very small creatures. But there is one thing you must never do to a dinoflagellate population. You must never, never, never heat the water. If you heat the water up to a certain temperature, it causes an instant population explosion. Instant, constant rebirth and birth again of all the different dinoflagellate species. It turns the water a beautiful blood red. It is one of the most toxic poisons known to man, and it kills aquatic fish by the trillions. So in addition to having the water turn blood red from the oxidation process and the actual magma itself, you're going to have the generation of many dinoflagellate populations that turn the water a beautiful blood red.
That's what's going to kill the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. How will this third part of the ships be destroyed? At any given time, one-third of the world's shipping is in port. You take all the different types of shipping, the actual pleasure liners that go on cruises, the tramp steamers, the primary of the Liberians, the greatest in the earth, and you take all the different types of commercial carrying vehicles, the pleasure vehicles, the passenger vehicles, the navies, the world, and you take all of them. At any given time, one-third is in port, and two-thirds are on the open sea. Whenever a volcanic eruption occurs on the ocean seafloor, it generates what is known as a tsunami wave. If there are any normal faults in the area of those red lines, those cracks, one section drops down. When it drops down, the water goes with it. The water goes with it and it generates a wave that actually is from the very bottom of the water clean up to the top. It has the full force of all the ocean water from the bottom of the sea to the top. It pushes and moves faster than a jet airliner. Actually, ships on the open sea, it doesn't even affect. They just barely feel it as it goes underneath them. But when it comes up to a rising shoreline, like you have in San Francisco and Los Angeles and Portland and many other sections of the world, it suddenly comes up into a fantastic tsunami wave and destroys every single ship in port. So all these things are interconnected. They're connected with volcanic eruptions on the ocean seafloor, the water turning blood red, all the green grass being burnt up, and a third of the trees. All of this has to do with the hand of God in his creation, using his own creation, the earth itself that he created, to fulfill his own prophecy by his own power. So this is trumpet number 2, Revelation 8, 8 and 9. And the second angel sounded, as it were a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. So that explains that. But how does that correlate with its corresponding second vial? The second vial actually begins the event. Ta-da! It announces or heralds the beginning of an event. When the last drop of the second vial is poured out, as you see on this diagram, that ends the event. But you can see that the second trumpet is going a long time before the first vial is poured out. But you can see that at each time there is a chronology that causes them to be released one after the other, and yet they are all interconnected. They occur not simultaneously, but as one has finished, the other begins. But it's not all seven trumpets going off and then all seven vials, because there's definitely an interconnecting structure between each particular one of them. Now, how does that correspond to vial number 2? You can see for yourself the correlation. Vial number 2 is Revelation 16:3. Now, remember, back in trumpet number 2, we've got the volcanic eruptions popping up. We've got the water being heated and the dinoflagellate populations exploding. We've got the water turning blood red, and it's that time it's killed a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. Now notice vial number 2, Revelation 16:3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. Well, what is true of the blood of a dead man? The blood of a dead man will not sustain life. That's why he's dead. And so the blood of a dead man will not sustain life. And every living soul died in the sea. Now, to be perfectly honest, I am not quite sure about this. I'm not quite sure how God defines creatures that have living souls. This may mean things like whales, which give natural birth, and they don't lay eggs. And it may mean that things that give birth from the womb, like a whale and a few other aquatic creatures, that all of them are going to be killed. But I strongly suspect that it does at least mean this. All creatures in the sea lay eggs. They have a way of reproducing their young. And those who lay eggs, regardless of what they are, and don't give direct birth from a womb, which is 99% of all the aquatic creatures, they are all going to be killed. Why? Because remember, we're at the end. And by this time, the action of the second trumpet has intensified tremendously. And by the pouring out of the vial number 2, which is at the tail end of it that closes the event, it has not only killed a third part of the creatures, it has killed all the creatures. However, those creatures whose eggs are laid, those creatures, those eggs will hatch, and a whole new series of life forms will develop. One of the nice things about this actual material, these dinoflagellate poisons that are put out by dinoflagellate, they come into an area, they last a very short period of time, and they're gone. And so this may mean that creatures like whales will be completely wiped out, but the rest of the aquatic life, which is 99% of it, will survive because their offspring and the eggs, even though they will be killed, will be hatched after their demise. Now let's take a look at trumpet number 3, Revelation 8, 10, and 11. This is the great star Wormwood. This is a comet. You say, well, I think it's a meteor. No, it's a comet. It has to be a comet because God made all the comets in the universe, and there are trillions of them. And they all have the same characteristics. There's an Oort cloud that goes all the way around our solar system. Our solar system starts off at the sun, goes out to Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, goes all of Pluto. They're constantly discovering new ones. And so what happens is, outside of our solar system, immediately around it, there's an Oort cloud with trillions of comets in it, every size, shape, imaginable. But they all have the same characteristic. They are great, tremendous chunks of ice. They are predominantly ice. And in there are quadrillion, jillion, trillion, innumerable numbers of little tiny pieces, or small pieces, ranging from the size of invisibility up to as large as this building, and perhaps even larger, inside these huge chunks of ice. So this ice has the poison that is in it. We went through all this. I showed you the different types of poisons that exist in a comet. I showed you how they are all water-soluble, 100% water-soluble. I showed you how when this comet entered the Earth's atmosphere, it would look just like a Hebrew lamp, because a Hebrew lamp was run on olive oil. That's what John was referring to. And they didn't purify the olive oil back then, so whenever they lit the wick on one of these lamps, there was a long white tail and a light, a ball of light at the center. And when John saw this comet coming through the Earth's atmosphere, he likened it to a lamp, which he had seen many times, a brilliant glow with a long flickering white tail. It fell upon a third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. When it fell upon this system, it fell upon what is known as the hydrological cycle. Every day on the oceans and seas of the world, you have the sun shining down on the surface of the oceans. You have it shining down on inward rivers, creeks, streams, and bayous. As the water shines down, it evaporates the water. As the water evaporates into the air, it rises and cools at the rate of 1 degree Celsius for every 100 meters it is lifted. It cools and forms clouds. The clouds over the land then precipitate on the land, and the water goes back to the water, to the oceans and seas from which it came. That is the hydrological cycle. This is going to fall on the oceans and seas of the world, and also on the interior rivers and springs. When it does, it will poison man's water supply. It will actually mix in with the water, because all of these chemicals and these hydrocyanide poisons that I showed you are 100% water soluble, and I proved that to you. I'm going very rapidly. I'm going 900 miles an hour because I've covered all this. I went through each one of these. I intricately showed you every single chemical composition in a comet. I showed you specifically why this had to come down and be a comet on the Earth. I would spend a whole two different sessions talking about each one of these particular things. So all I'm doing now is reviewing very quickly and showing you how these trumpets and vials are tied together. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand this principle. And a third part of the waters became wormwood. Anytime you have a solid powder like Kool-Aid, it's a solid and it's a powder, and you put it in water and it dissolves. As it dissolves, whatever the water was before becomes Kool-Aid. It dissolves in water. So this star, this astaire, this comet, is called wormwood, and it has to dissolve in water. And a third part of the waters became wormwood. In order for the waters to become wormwood, wormwood has to dissolve in it. Anytime these hydrocyanic poisons, which comets contain, and I showed you the proof of the last probes that were made into Halley's Comet and others, Hale-Bopp Comet and all the others, I proved to you there is sufficient poison in a comet to do this if it's the right size when it enters the Earth's atmosphere. This one is the right size. It falls upon about a third part of the rivers. And a third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters. It poisons the waters. It makes them poisonous because they were made bitter. All three of these poisons I showed you that dissolve in water in a comet make the water taste bitter, and there are no exceptions. So that is a comet. Now, vial number 3. Notice how these two correlate. Notice the similarities. We are told in trumpet number 3, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Now look, way here, 8 chapters later, Revelation 16, 4. And a third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. You say, well, what does that mean, how they became blood? Look back up at vial number 2. As the blood of a dead man and every living soul died in the sea. Now it's telling you that this spreads into the interior, on the land, in the waters, the fountains of waters, the springs, the headwater tributary systems, because this is now being carried back inland by the hydrological cycle, precipitated out on the landmass, and now it's poisoning the interior waters. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. What kind of blood? The blood that is like the blood of a dead man. It's killing people. It's killing people in the interior of continents as well as in the oceans and seas of the world itself. Trumpet number 4, Revelation 18, 12. Now, in trumpet number 4, going back to trumpets 1 and 2, we've had these volcanic eruptions going on for some time by the time trumpet number 4 sounds. We've already had the volcanoes come up out of the ocean. They're putting a lot of smoke up into the atmosphere. They're blowing it straight up through the tropopause layer. Any time that you blow volcanic smoke through the tropopause layer, because there's no moisture there and there's a temperature inversion around the entire Earth of the tropopause layer, it levels out like a cloud, accumulates. There's no way for moisture to accumulate on it to make it heavy enough to fall out, and it just keeps on building and building and building. I went into intricate detail on this. I spent 2 different Sunday morning sessions explaining it, showed hundreds of charts to correlate and prove what I'm saying. So those of you who are visiting, if this seems like utter madness, I can understand. But we went through this, and I proved everything that I'm saying, just reviewing now of some of the things and correlating the vials themselves. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened. Now, this doesn't mean that if you looked up and a third part of the sun would be covered, and a third part of the stars, and each one of the moons, Doesn't mean that at all. It tells you the next verse what it means. So that as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of them, the night likewise. I showed you this particular chart, and I showed you at this particular time, we're on the fourth trumpet. The cloud shield is forming that will eventually become total and cover the entire earth. But here we are at this time. We're on the actual fourth trumpet. By this time, a lot of this smoke will have blown up above the tropopause layer that you see here. So if you were standing here at point X, and you were looking up at this particular time, you would see no cloud at all. But remember, these are blowing and moving around the earth like this, the tops of these clouds, and they're not dissipating because there's no moisture up there to condense on. So at this point, you would see the sun, moon, and stars because there's nothing above you between you and them. However, as the leading edge of this cloud came in, the first thing you would see as the leading edge came in, it would turn the moon a beautiful blood red. There's no more effective lithometer known to man to cause the moon to be blood red than a volcanic lithometer. But eventually, as the thicker part of the cloud came across you, you wouldn't be able to see the sun in the daytime or the moon and stars at night. But eventually, another break would come in, and then you'd be able to see all three of them again. So what it's saying here is, at this time, volcanic eruptions have started to build up a pretty consistent cloud shield, but it's not 100% coverage across the earth at this time. However, there are breaks, but still at this time, you're facing a situation where you can see it part of the time. And that's what this is telling you right here in this verse of Scripture, when it tells you that so that the third part of them was darkened. It means a third part of the time during the day you won't be able to see the sun. A third part of the time at night you won't be able to see the moon and the stars. And the night likewise. That's all that means. Now let's take a look at vial number 4. Now remember, by this time, the ozone layer is being broken down more and more and more. Back when the ultraviolet radiation first started to break through, it was only affecting those people that had the mark of the beast, because the chemical reaction probably between this little thing that they stuck underneath their skin, which reacted violently to ultraviolet radiation. But now, by this time, 3 trumpets later, we are beginning to have a situation where the ultraviolet radiation is breaking through like mad. You say, well, the clouds will stop it. No, clouds will not stop ultraviolet radiation. The only thing will stop ultraviolet radiation is ozone. And by this time, the ozone is breaking down rapidly. And here's what's happening. This is exactly what happens when ultraviolet radiation comes down on this earth and it kills, and it kills dramatically. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. He pours it out on the sun meaning being the instrumentation whereby the ultraviolet radiation eventually comes into our atmosphere. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Now remember where we are and what we're doing. We're going through and we're correlating all these trumpets and all these vials. We started off with the first trumpet. We went up to the first vial. We started on the second trumpet. We went up to the second vial. We started on the third trumpet, third vow. We have now gone to the fourth trumpet, and we have finished the fourth vow. So, Lord willing, next Sunday, I'm going to start on vow number five. On vow number five, he points out, he says that he pours out his wrath on the seat of the beast, his government, where he is. So next week we'll discover what is the seat of his government and where is it that he pours it out and where are the evil demons and concentrations of Satan today. So Lord willing, we'll cover this next Sunday morning. We will begin on the fifth trumpet and try to go through to the seventh trumpet.